Welcome to the Ecology and Research Channel. Green issues, ecology, incredibly important to embodiment. Obviously, we're embodied in place, we're embodied in a world. How we treat ourselves is how we treat the planet and vice versa. So this is super important, I think, for our whole planet. Research relates to this. We've sort of put two together there. We didn't quite know where to put research, so we put them in with ecology. This stage has lots of great speakers, people I personally enjoy, and it's sponsored by Forests Without Frontiers. So rather than sell a sponsorship for this channel, we decided, you know what, let's give it away to a green charity. Tree planting seemed a good one. We thought we can all get behind that. We all breathe air. We looked into a load, actually. Some of them are quite famous, but don't actually plant a lot of trees, weirdly, or other things aren't so good with them. This one, Forests Without Frontiers, really does the work. They're in charge of a really big reforestation project in Central Europe, but, you know, we're all breathing it, thank you. It's run by Nicoletta, a very cool lady, and just a cool organization that really does the work. The money goes, you know, efficiently to actually planting trees. I'm happy to be supporting them. For me, it was like, you know, when we were looking at our charities to support, a green one just made a lot of sense to me. That just was obvious. Please do support them. Links below. As well as that, enjoy the whole channel. There's so much richness in this topic.
So I'm just going to start with Narelle. Narelle is an Australian interdisciplinary artist in photography, dance, sound, and word. They engage in embodied explorations of Soma, land, and seascape, and is the creator of the Saltwater Songline Project. Thank you so much, Narelle, for joining us. We also have with us Jamie, and Jamie, the interdisciplinary artist, thematic movement specialist, and creator of thematic expression, Body Wisdom for Modern Times. Now, I'm not quite sure where Stephanie is at this moment. She was just here, but we're going to figure that out. Let me give her an introduction. So when she's back here on our Zoom with us, Stephanie is an improvisational movement artist, exploring thematic experience and creative process on and with the land. So welcome, everyone. Again, participants, please use the Q&A, please use the chat, and I'll let our lovely panel take it away.
Well, it's kind of fun to have, you know, Stephanie kind of out in the ethers, and that's kind of the way I experience her. She's been on an amazing journey for over the last year, exploring all these different biomes, and so maybe right now she's in the biome of the ethers. I think she's coming back. Stephanie! Anyway. Ah, you made it back.
Okay, I don't know what happened.
you were introduced. We were just getting ready to go, and I was just saying how it was kind of fun that you disappeared into the ethers because you've been on this amazing journey of exploring different biomes. And I thought, well, she's in the biome of the ethers right now.
Okay, good. So I didn't miss too much.
Yeah. Okay. So we're on to question number one.
Okay, so the first question I wanted us to explore is somatic artist. What is a somatic artist? Or do you identify with that? If so, in what way do you feel about being a somatic artist? So who wants to jump?
I'll go first.
Well, why not? Okay, go Narelle, yes.
Okay, so I'm Australian, everyone, as you can hear from my voice. And my real introduction, I suppose, in terms of somatic, although somatic itself is not really a word I strongly identify with, is my experiences with my dad. My dad was a sub lifesaver and he was a bushman. And when I was five, he said to me at the edge of the cliff, the sandstone cliff, "Narelle, put your hand here on the stone. What do you hear? What do you feel? Where do you feel that in your body? Where does it move through you? Where does it travel to? But most importantly, Narelle, what will you do with that?" And I'm 4 or 5 years old. So for me, my experience of my body and the landscape was like this living soma, this living interwoven thing. That was my introduction. And, you know, I taught, I'm a dance maker, and I started to teach dance when I was 14. And the way that I started to teach was about that relationship of the sandstone or the bones and the rocks of the earth, how you could feel that and feel that force move up through the body. And it changed the way the kids that I was teaching experienced their bodies and moved. So the way I've always taught dance is through my photography or sometimes other people's photography, and that relationship of land and body as a felt experience. And when I was in my late 20s, I had an initiation from an elder up in the Northern Territory of my country, and he gave me an initiation that gave me permission and sanctified me to work with certain aspects of the body in relationship to the land. And at the time I was making jewellery, gemstone jewellery, so that was its interface artistically. But of course it bled through instantly to the way that I practiced and taught and choreographed and performed dance. It's seamless for me in my image making and storytelling, this connection of my body in relationship with place.
And James? Beautiful.
Well, you know, it's interesting that, you know, you started talking about your father as the guide to introduce you to the land and that interface between your body and earth. And it's funny, when I was sitting by the ocean this afternoon, I was thinking about, what does it mean to be a somatic artist? What does that come from? And I was thinking of, as dancers, we're basically taught that our body is an instrument. And so I was thinking of that word instrument, and I was thinking, you know, instrument's cool. Okay, I get that, being like a virtuoso of your body, like you'd be a virtuoso of a violin. But instrument isn't the whole thing, right? I mean, it's not just that our body is an instrument, but that our body is source, that our body is our main connection to the planet, to our larger body. And this combination, this back and forth, that my soma is what connects me to the land, and the land connects me to my soma. And it's this participation and dialogue back and forth that informs not only my movement expression, but that informs my consciousness and my perceptual ability to engage creatively and aesthetically with place. So for me, being a somatic artist means really my individual soma in relationship to the larger soma. And it's a back and forth dialogue between the two.
Absolutely. They're interwoven. They're seamlessly interwoven.
Yeah.
I have a question then, Jamie, for you. How would you then say the difference between your body and your soma? Can you explain, like, somatic, how is that different than it's my body in relation, but no, it's my soma?
So soma is really includes the whole tamale, right? It's the lived experience of this body that, of course, is changing over time. I mean, my body now that I'm 65 is different than when I was 50 or 20 or 6, right? So the body is an evolving process over time, and the soma for me encapsulates my whole life experience and all those different stages of being along the way. So one of the things I always like to say with my students is, you know, especially when we're, you know, going down to the floor and then up and, you know, repeating developmental patterns or whatever, that evolution is not a one-way street, that we're constantly looping back over and over each time we go onto the floor, become formless with breath and sound, and then form ourselves in movement. So in a similar way, for me, that is the soma, that the soma holds, whereas the body is at any point in space and time, right?
So interesting. I see what you're saying. So yes, Very interesting. So there's something about the body is now, but the soma is everything that came before now, and maybe everything that will happen in the future. I see.
Exactly. Yeah. And that it, and it's not, and body is not, of course, just the physical body. I mean, body is, like I said, you know, it contains, the soma contains our life experience, our memories, our images, our yearnings, mm-hmm. our desires, you know, all of that mm-hmm. is implicit. Whereas how we've segmented the body out in Western culture very often is it becomes very mechanical. Right. And so we think of the mechanics, which is an important aspect.
Right.
But once again, it can sometimes miss the larger picture.
Mm-hmm. So that's very interesting, because that might be a jumping point for me to begin, is because all those things that you talk about, that soma, I feel, for me, why it's, I feel a somatic artist, or I'm starting to explore that as what I am, is that all of that internal is a place for creative expression that doesn't necessarily have to even come out into the world yet as a photo or as a movement. And all of that inside, for instance, I had told you this example before, I might just look out at a landscape, and just like a painter is going to choose just the colors, or I just like this shape here to paint, I am going to paint, I'm going to engage aesthetically just with those somatic experiences. So I might go, this painting, I feel it's about my spine. I see the blue in the horizon, and I am feeling this wind going by. That's it. That's my, that's how I would say that experience creates a kind of artwork. And so for me, I feel what it is to be a somatic artist is you can make art, create art, or find art with just the soma. And I also feel, of course, as a dancer, you both have said, the felt senses inside are reflected outside, how in the density of the tree and the movement of the leaves and the squishiness of the mud, that's all inside. There's density, they're squishy, and those are what's conversing in the improv. Mm-hmm. And I guess the last thing I say, which to me makes a somatic artist, is the imagination. And that the imagination is a part of the soma, and it's part of the creative process. And I saw David Abrams, his conference thing last night, and I typed in a question. I asked him, what is the role of imagination in the sentient process? And he said imagination for him is part of the senses. When the senses are engaging, this is where the imagination is. And so I feel those three things, those are in a, are how I feel I identify with the somatic artist.
So I would say it's just kind of a quick summary that all of us are speaking about conversations, right? That it's a dialogue, and it is the conversation that is informing the creative output, the aesthetic output. And that being said, I think it's time for a 3-minute video.
Okay.
Who would like to share their video first?
Jamie.
Okay.
You want to share yours? Okay.
Sure. It just gives us a little breathing room. So we've designed this so each of us is showing a 3-minute excerpt of our work for the attendees today, just as a way to kind of go from all of this lively dialogue, just to take a little breathing room and an aesthetic moment. So whenever you're ready, go ahead and cue up my video. And as you take in these images and these sounds, give yourself a little breathing room. Being conscious of inhaling and exhaling, and letting the dissolving images on the screen become part of your breath flow. Just to say that that was made specifically for the conference today, and I decided a new experiment of using these wonderful little So, panel, any responses, or you want to move on to the next question?
Actually, Jenny, I want to say something in response to what you said just before we went to your video. And you said something about the reciprocity, although you didn't use that word, but you talked about the back and forward of relationship. And for me, it's very much as if it's like I'm listening to you and I'm thinking, this is the dreaming. This is each of the body and the land listening each other into being, into existence. That's how my consciousness and my body heard that.
Absolutely, yeah. Reciprocity, I think, is a really wonderful word in terms of the worlds within worlds interfacing and interacting. I love your use of the word the dreaming.
Yeah, I mean it's a concept here of my people, but it's very much the way that the dreaming is all time, all space. It's all happening at once, and this ongoing communion of creation, listening each other into, breathing each other into being.
I was wondering if people can, Adrian did this in my conference session. I thought it was helpful that if people could in the chat, a lot of people were saying how beautiful it is, and it is amazingly beautiful. I was just wondering if people can put in more descriptive words of what they felt while they watched it. Just it could be one word or a sentence. If anyone can share in the chat how they felt watching the images? What was your experience during it? Mm. Nice. Nice. Mm. Uh-huh. Nice. People are saying spacious, harmony in air, refreshing, a lightness, process into flow. Hmm. These are all, to me, somatic words. This is the soma to me. Mm-hmm. Would you agree or disagree? Good. This is it. Vibration, the edge of the rock. Someone's mentioning that's feeling edgy. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Dissolving. Wonderful. These are the qualities of nature. And to me, I feel like this is at least my experience of the soma. Ooh, here they come. Lots more. Okay. Uh-huh. Wonderful. Okay. So read them. Somebody's saying read them. Okay. Space opening, textural, flowing, going with the flow, dissolving, relaxed and connected. For some reason, I was clenching my teeth. Dissolving into soft belly, connected, integrated, vibration, textures informing feeling, the one image of the rock edge, feeling edge, soothing, process into flow, spacious and light, a lightness, refreshing, harmony in air, spacious indeed. Dissolving cells. Wonderful, wonderful.
So our next question.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll get to all of them. Hopefully we do. The next question was, in what way do you embody in the creation process? How are you embodying while creating the art?
Ready, set, go.
My mind's a blank. I wasn't actually quite expecting that question. But I can speak to it. So, you know, what I do is I walk, you know, I make pictures, I walk, I listen. And when I walk in place, it's that rhythm, that experience of my body moving with that rhythm of and fluidity of walking. And it's if the tissues of my body dissolve really into the landscape. So often I walk coastlines and I'm feeling the connective tissue in my body in its relationship with sand, or I'm feeling the relationship of the fluids that I'm looking at. You know, it might be rock pools, it might be waves, as that flushes through my fascia and through the intracellular spaces. And, you know, for me, I'm never alone when I walk on the coasts in the littoral zones or in the bush. I'm always listening to the spirits of the place, to what I'll call the ancestors. And, you know, that's such a vibratory, resonant, thrumming hum through my organism, through my entire fabric. That, you know, I walk along and sometimes I just hear this now. It's like I look down, it's like it's a piece of sand. But I hear this now, make the image now. And, you know, I wear glasses to look on a screen and I can't really see what I'm making a photo of. This is, okay, I just do what I'm told, make it now. And I go back and there's the image on my screen when I look at it later with my glasses. But what I've done is my whole organism, my whole being has listened to the frequency of what I'm feeling and hearing, both from the tissues of the land, but also from the consciousness of other beings, you know, beings other than human, the rocks, the sand, the water. And that's what I respond to. It's kind of almost involuntary. You know, I don't decide oh, I'm going to make that picture. Although sometimes I see something and it's like a child, oh, wow. And it's a whole body visceral moment of, whoa, look at that, you know. But yeah, that's kind of my process.
Mm-hmm. I would say that for me, it's, I get out into the field, right? So first of all, I just have to show up. I have to go outdoors, right? And once I'm outdoors, attuned to myself, attuned to place, and sometimes that's just like moving along somewhere and finding a place where I could just sit or lay down on the earth and just arrive, breathe, orient within, and then begin to orient without. And in that orienting without, I really follow my curiosity. And I would say that that curiosity comes from, you could say it comes from the fluid systems of the body, kind of just trickling out, moving around. But it really is, I'm going to go see what's out there. And as I'm kind of moving around, something will catch my attention, and then I will engage in a dialogue of, okay, I'm going to take a picture. And because of the digital realm, I'm able to look at the feedback right away and see, am I on to something? So it's this back and forth and back and forth, and oh, I'm going to try it from a sidewards or upside down, or, but ultimately for me, it's really getting into the flow of creation and how the camera lens really focuses my attention on a much smaller vision of reality, because I can be like all over the place. So for me, the process of photographing really becomes a doorway into a focused consciousness, which serves me well, because then I can play with it and explore and follow, and then put my camera down and breathe and move and notice what's around me. I might spontaneously sound or sing, but all of that is implicit within the process of creation, then bringing all of myself forward.
Somebody had a question. I think hopefully they feel you answered it. As an actor, I find it easier to embody the art, but as a photographer, it's harder. Any thoughts? So maybe what you said was, unless you have something more you'd like to answer to that. Good. You did. Excellent. Okay. I guess for me, the embodiment, first I have to go into the land and I have to live there. I have to drink the water. If there's berries, I have to make tea with it. I have to hike in it and sweat. I have to wander in it. I have to be still and just meditate there. I have to do all of those things. And then I start to improvise. And to me, the reason is all those beginnings help me access the somatic part. And then with those experiences of color and distance and space and how you're experiencing time or memory, these will feed the improvisation for me. And then, as I said before, obviously the felt senses is how I engage with the improvisation, but also I'll just like, you know, get into the mud and start improvising with the swamp. It's, or I'll be with a tree and I'm hanging from it. So it's like kinetic, it's a kinesthetic and kinetic improv as if you're improvising a duet. I might challenge myself and say, what's the most insignificant thing in this landscape right now? What's not attracting your attention? Go improvise with that and see if you can find the significance with that. And then the landscape challenges you. In the tundra, the challenge was you're going to have to dance with a landscape that's like miles away. How do you do that? The grasslands is saying, dance with emptiness. How are you going to do that? The river is saying, I'm going to give you a constant force, a flow coming. How are you going to improvise with that? So I feel for me, as you said, Jamie, it's really, it's all about you know, kinetic and then the body engaging with it, is how I feel I embody while I'm improvising. And all of it, I feel, really leads to art that is found and not created. It's about revealing everything. I have these things that maybe you play with or that you're being challenged by, but it's all about finding. And as soon as this happens, it's animate. It's here's a relationship. Here's a meaning. So I think that's what happened when I started improvising, is that it's found. It's a found experience as opposed to revealing.
Beautiful. So I think that's a wonderful segue into your video, yes?
Okay.
You just somebody kind of let it. I was like ready to see what you got here.
So somebody suggested we turn off our video if we want to not be seen while the video is going.
Okay.
That'd be fantastic. If you don't mind, quickly, there's a question in the chat asking whether it's a type of manifest. So is it a type of manifestation of relationship? And I'm just wondering if you could answer that, because it's very in line with what you're talking about right now.
So it is a type of manifestation of relationship. Embodiment? I'm not sure exactly what they are meaning by that question. You could type more to explain more what you mean by that. The art you create. Yes. Exactly. It is. It is a manifestation of relationship. So tied that you can't tell, is it me doing this or them doing this? It's right. Correct. Yeah, I feel definitely.
Fantastic. Thank you for answering that. We'll get on with your video if you don't mind. That's great.
And before we go into the video, because there are different responses and questions coming up, I'm just going to type in for all the attendees. We are going to carry on the conversation after the session is over for people who would like to have a little more direct interaction. So I'm putting in a Zoom link and a passcode. And so if you copy that, you can paste it after we finish. So I just wanted to let people know that the conversation live will carry on, not just on chat. So, okay.
Thank you. John?
That was awesome. I saw an earlier version of that, and I really liked this new version a lot.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is it all stop-starty for you? We could give them a link at our chat afterwards so you can actually see it in flow. So.
Narelle.
Give us the links. Yeah.
Oh, there she is. Okay.
Back.
She's back.
It was jamming. I didn't have permission to show video.
I'm sorry?
Sorry.
Somebody's asking for the link. So I wonder if
our public tech host can add that in the chat for you.
Yeah, if they could add the link to the Google Doc, and then people can watch it. Yeah.
Slimy, encompassing, visceral, gooey, and textural, beautiful, and dirty. Ha ha. Courageous and authentic. Nice.
Yeah, it's funny when I show this one, there's different people have mixed feelings about the swamp. It's not like, you know, you go to the tundra and everyone's like, epic, gorgeous, you know, when it's with the swamp, people have these sort of, you know, mixed reactions because it's mud and you're dirty. But I mean, honestly, it was the most sensual, like enlivening experience to submerge yourself in this. I mean, there was a alligator like way over there, and you know, it's just it's funny that people have different sort of, you know, experiences with that. So okay.
I just want a quick response to that in terms of the somatic engagement with the natural environment, and how our soma, our sensory motor cortex, or as Piaget would call it, sensory motor consciousness that we had as young kids, who would, of course, jump into that mud willingly.
Exactly.
Right? And that part of these explorations in the environment invite not only our curiosity, adult curiosity, but our child spirit. And this, once again, the soma encompassing all aspects of our history, allowing us to play. And, you know, I mean, my adult mind sometimes might say, I'm not going to jump into the Pacific Ocean. It's way too cold. But I know when I do, like you were saying, it enlivens my body in a way that is so remarkable and brings forward a different kind of energy. So in that, you know, in that mission of being somanauts, that being a somatic explorer just does not only happen within the confines of studio spaces. Studio spaces are wonderful for having the safety of the environment and the being able to drop in a kind of a safe, enclosed space. But ultimately, I think our somatic explorations are enlivened and informed and enriched by participating with the elements. So,
yes, I agree with that 100%, especially in here. I didn't just jump in. First, you just get your feet in, and then you get a little deeper. And as you're getting deeper into the mud, things are leaving you, inhibitions, certain like sensory things are becoming extremely alive that were quiet. And now the more I go in and in, the more this is coming out and out, which is something in as the somatic experience. And if, I totally agree. If you're a kid, you just go right in. But it was an unraveling process. The deeper you go in, the more, and inversely, the more that somatic thing was coming out.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so we have one more question, and hopefully if we don't finish, we can continue on at your place. But that question was, what is the role of the audience or the viewer, the witness in your work, and what is the reason you do it?
Okay, I'll blabber on. So I really think of the art I create is just part and parcel of my guiding. That for me, the guiding people into their somas or guiding them in the woods, my art is another way to guide. And I think of it, for example, a student recently said to me, she said, you know, I went to the woods a while ago, and because I've seen your images so much, I started really looking at the woods in a different way. And she said, it altered my perception. And I feel primarily as an educator, and really coming from that wonderful lineage of the source word, which is to guide people, right? Educe, to lead out of, and introduce people to a wider horizon of perception, whether it's self-experiencing of the body, changing perception of the body to change perception of the natural environment, or that creative aesthetic exploration of what can be generated through that process. So I'm really more of a process artist than identifying as a product artist, right? Even though I do have products, but that ultimately my work is to create, particularly these videos I've been creating online, to create a space for people to drop into themselves, to remember the world, to remember their nature while viewing nature. And ultimately, as somebody wrote about my presentation the other day, when I kind of guided through a video, she said, oh, it was so centering and nurturing. And I thought, well, yep. Yeah, that for me is really what I'm after, because let's face it, in the world right now, in the complexity of the world that we're all dancing with, it feels so vital to have these places where we can drop in to ourselves and remember this larger planet that we're part of is holding us and is giving us so much freely. The ocean gives to us freely, the woods, the land, the rocks. And so how to really take that in. So that's really why I create art, to share that experience that I'm having with others and hopefully having it be a conduit into more self-knowing.
Wonderful. Narelle?
It's an interesting question. It's several questions in one. I create because I can't not create. We're all creators, every one of us. And I don't actually have an intent when I share the work, although the way that I experience myself as I perform back in the day, live, I view or I experience myself as like a shaman. When I perform or when I share my work, my role is of transmission, direct transmission. And that transmission is a challenge, if you like, or an invitation to experience yourself. If who we all really are is consciousness experiencing itself, then the space that I'm opening is for the witness, the audience, to experience an experience. I don't really care what that experience is. And hopefully it's actually a very different experience to my experience, because then I might actually learn something and the witnesser might actually learn something, because then we're talking about some real edge of transformation that is the new, and it's a different new. The more different somebody else's experience is to my own, then we're talking real change, real evolution. And it blows all assumptions out of the water. And I love that. I love it so much. And so I kind of see my role as a transformer. That's what I am. I'm a spiritual transformer. And but that's not really why I make the art in the first place. I make it because there's this impassioned curiosity and joy, and I can't stop it. It's just boom, blowing and blasting through me. And you know, to be perfectly honest, what it's really born of is this love. You know, that's there. I walk in the land. I sing. Somebody asked earlier in the chat, do you sing when you walk? Do you make sounds? Yes. Hell yes. I sing. I make these sounds that come up from the earth itself. People, you know, draw their kids away. It's like, what is that woman doing over there? It just all burgeons through. And a witnesser that experiences that, that's the invitation. It's like, do you remember? Do you remember who you really are? And what will you do with that?
I'll just give a short answer so we make sure we have enough time to show Narelle's piece and have feedback. So I think for me, the audience is part of the creative process. The audience used to just be me, and then it was just me and my partner. And slowly, because I've just started sort of building this work, there's more and more people involved. And I notice that every time the work is shown, every time somebody says something, it affects how I think about it, how I remember it, how I will go forward. So to me, this is part of the creative process. Yeah, it's like a relational journey together. And I feel that the purpose, and I'm just sort of finding this now, is everybody has something to share. Everybody has some kind of creativity. And I feel that the more people that are out there doing creative work, particularly with the land and sharing in that process, I feel that this is the way we learn to live together. This is where things will be revealed and how to live and how to feel and how to relate to one another. So I guess I feel like it is a communal process all through the artistic process. And I feel at this time in this day and age that it's about, when you create land, it's about being an earthling on earth, and that we all have bodies and we all create with our bodies, I mean, with our somas. And this is how we learn to live together. We learn to be aware of the world and how to live together. And I feel like the art is one way, for me, a very visceral way, in a very concrete way, in a very spiritual way, and a very aesthetic way to do that.
Well, I would say before we watch the Narelle's videos is, because I've sometimes been asked to sum up, that the summary that I get here is the inner necessity and the passion that drives us into this art of creation, this art of participation and collaboration, the subject-subject relationship that's so important to each of us. And so,
Should we shout Narelle's? Yes.
Shakraka Kushaklata Shuhu Kita Kusia Shuhu Kutisahaya ki kutisahaya kutisahaya shu. Sikaya kuetia ke shukiesaya kueiahie kukiesaya Kietea ki e kiesaya kiesaya.
I guess the host has to start my video again.
Oh, okay.
Okay, now I can, yeah. That was beautiful, Narelle.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The vocals, it's noted in the video, but in case people missed it, it's Diana Ning, who's actually also presenting on this conference. She's a Singaporean-based artist and practitioner.
You just have one last question, and if each of you can say in one word, what is your top tip for embodiment?
Enjoyment.
Get dirty in the mud.
The land speaks. Listen.
Listen.
Fabulous tips. I can't wait for folks who are looking for some of these really great ideas, especially within the area of embodiment in which you spoke to so beautifully tonight or this morning, depending where you are in the world. We really appreciate you, and thank you to all three of you for coming. And yeah, I hope folks can really connect with you. All of your websites are down below as well.
And thank you for your gracious hosting, and Liza for your tech. Thank you so much for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.